Demko goes down.
He's not going to play tonight.
The game-changing injury to the Canucks' starting goalie and how fans are reacting with Game 2 tonight.
Mark your calendar.
More than anything, people in Surrey want this to be over.
A date is set for the Surrey police transition. Why that still doesn't end the controversy.
And surviving a hit and run.
I'm actually grateful it was me that got hit, not my wife or my son.
The search for the driver and the suspect vehicle.
You're watching Global BC. This is Global News Hour at 6.
Good evening and thanks for joining us. It's all excitement and nerves for Canuck Nation tonight as the team heads into Game 2 against Nashville without starting goalie Thatcher Demko.
Demko is out for Game 2 and possibly even longer due to injury. Jay Janauer joins us live from outside Rogers Arena. Jay, what's the word from the team tonight?
Well, I can tell you right now, the word from Canuck fans, Chris, walking in behind me, heading into Rogers Arena, is concerned. They keep on asking me, what's the inside scoop? Here's what we know. Thatcher Demko was not made available to the media Sunday following the game. We requested him. We were told he was getting treatment. Now, that's not out of the normal. That usually happens with some guys afterwards. He didn't skate with the team yesterday. He didn't skate this morning. So, of course, alarm bells went off. He will not play tonight. That's all the Canucks are really saying. And that leaves it in the hands of Casey DeSmith. Here's Rick Tocchet and JT Miller talking about no Thatcher Demko tonight.
It wasn't the old injury, and that's all I really got for you guys. You know, it's a day-to-day thing.
Can you give us a sense of when it may have happened?
Yesterday, I think. I'm not quite sure. That's what it's. I don't have a timeline exactly, so I don't want to really want to speculate.
You said it happened. It may have happened yesterday in practice.
No, it might have been in the game, but I'm not quite sure because he skated yesterday. I don't have the exact timeline. That's why I don't want to speculate whether it's, you know, this time or whatever.
Yeah, it sucks. You know, he works harder than anybody on a day-to-day basis when he's not injured, let alone when he's trying to get back in for stuff like this. So you feel for the guy. He's a big part of our team, but we got to find a way to, you know, be resilient as a group and move forward.
Okay, so that means Casey DeSmith will start tonight. Now, there has to be some concern with Thatcher Demko. He missed 6 weeks just prior to the start of the playoffs, 14 games in all, with a knee injury. So who knows how long he's going to be out, because you can never trust reports from hockey teams in the playoffs because they always hide injuries. But right now, it's Casey DeSmith starting tonight, and who knows what happens after tonight.
Jay, thanks very much for that, man. We're hoping for the best for Demko. Hope he's back to... Well, he did answer. No idea how long Demko could be out, right, Jay?
Yeah, you know what? There's various reports out there right now that he had an MRI and it does not look good. Could be 4 to 6 weeks. And if you're talking that long, Chris, that's basically the playoffs.
Yes, it is. So, again, we're hopeful. Jay, thank you very much. Enjoy the game.
Yeah, all right. Squire Barnes joins us now because it's been a long time since we've had playoffs at home, Squire. So a lot of fans very on edge about this. How's the team going to deal with it?
Well, I mean, the team's going to deal with it the way they always deal with injuries. Next man up. I mean, I know it sounds cliche, but that's all you can really do. And as we've been saying all day, remember, the Canucks' backup goalie isn't a rented goalie from a local rink. He's an NHL goalie. Casey DeSmith is going to go in. But injuries are just part of the thing, especially in the playoffs. And this is what Rick Tocchet spoke about today.
Well, I was going to the playoffs, and in the speeches, you're going to use 28. If you're going to go far, you're going to use 28 guys. Now, I get certain stars and stuff. I get it. But to go deep, you have to use 28 guys in your lineup. It just mostly goes that far, so you're gonna have to have people step up and the team step up. So that's the mentality.
That doesn't change the way we play as a team, and we're definitely very focused, and you know, no matter who's in net, obviously we have confidence in them, but you know, it doesn't change the way we play up in front of them.
Now, Casey DeSmith did play against Nashville back in December, and he beat the Nashville Predators that night. Remember this, the Canucks did win game one without their main guys scoring. So even if your goalie's having an off night, the guys the Canucks got, maybe you can outscore those problems. Mm. So there's that.
We'll see what happens tonight.
Don't panic just yet.
Just yet.
All
come
right.
On.
Thanks, Squire.
Keep calm.
Carry on. All right, we'll talk to Squire more about this coming up. But despite the bad news this morning, Canucks fans still believe in their team.
That's right. Grace Key is live outside Rogers Arena with more on how fans are feeling without that star goalie and if the city is planning for any more viewing parties, Grace.
Yeah, we are here at Toyota Party on the Plaza where you can hear the music is pumping, fans are gathering, everyone is so excited. Yes, we did hit the streets today to ask people their thoughts on Demko, and as you can imagine, people weren't taking it well.
What did I think? My jaw dropped. And I was like, no!
And when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, our best player of the game.
Yeah, you heard that. Yeah, it sucks.
It's news no Canucks fan wanted to hear. Goalie Thatcher Demko injured and out of action.
You know, their backup goalies are not bad, so I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of scary, though.
I'm not worried at all. No. Fully confident. We got this. Home ice. We got this.
And for others, you know, words of optimism weren't so convincing.
But hopefully, you know, they will come together and, yeah.
The injury isn't slowing down the team spirit. The Canucks posted this video of former player Ryan Kesler.
What's up, Canucks fan? Ryan Kesler here, back in Vancouver, excited for game two. See you guys there.
Go Canucks, go.
Do we have anyone online today?
The city of Vancouver got into the spirit at council chambers, but still no word of a viewing party. The city says it's working with the team to support its Toyota Party on the Plaza for round one, adding, we will continue to discuss with all parties what may be possible for future rounds. This is other cities such as Edmonton and Winnipeg are holding viewing parties during their playoffs. On Sunday, Surrey fans filled the streets around 72nd Avenue and 120th Street, prompting RCMP and Delta Police to team up with enhanced patrols. The intersection may be closed to vehicles if necessary.
This type of high visible vest has Vancouver Police on the front. On the back, it also Vancouver Police.
If you need help from Vancouver or Transit Police, look out for these high-vis vests. Police want to keep the safe family fun momentum going, but not giving any indication about a possible viewing party.
We will work with the City of Vancouver. We will work with the team, the Vancouver Canucks, as those conversations progress. If this playoff run progresses, which we all hope it does, and we'll provide our input from a public safety perspective.
So arena doors did open at 5:30 today. That was 30 minutes earlier than usual, so people already starting to make their way inside. Sophie and Chris.
All right, Grace Key outside Rogers Arena. Thanks, Grace.
Well, almost 75 years after the RCMP first began patrolling Surrey streets, a date has been set for the new municipal force to take over. The province setting a deadline for later this year. Catherine Urquhart reports.
After years of uncertainty, finally a date for when the Surrey Police Service will take command.
The Surrey Police Service will become the police of jurisdiction for the city of Surrey on November 29th, 2024.
That date comes following a highly contentious, years-long battle over transitioning from the RCMP to a municipal police force.
We have been preparing for this date for over 3 years, and we continue to work diligently to ensure SPS is prepared to transition into this role.
SPS recently swore in its 19 newest recruits. It now has 428 employees, including 367 officers and 61 civilians. But details about how exactly the transition will work operationally remain unclear.
This includes identifying the details of the required transitional supports and working on the operational assistance and cooperation agreement.
BC's Solicitor General and Public Safety Minister says concerns about RCMP members working in Surrey once SPS is the agency of jurisdiction have been addressed.
This pathway will not require provincial or federal legislative processes or amendments.
Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke said, aside from setting an aspirational date, nothing else has changed. Meanwhile, the Surrey Board of Trade says it has grave concerns about the transition.
There's still unanswered questions about the wraparound public safety supports that are required to ensure the success of the Surrey Police Service.
The province says $150 million is still there to assist the City of Surrey with transition costs. As for when the transition will be complete, that remains undetermined. The province has acknowledged there is a shortage of police officers, but aims to have it done in 2 to 2.5 years. Catherine Urquhart, Global News.
A Surrey crime prevention group hopes it hasn't become a victim of the fight over the city's policing. Crime Stoppers, which happens to be headed by Surrey City Councillor Linda Annis, is one of three organizations left high and dry by the city's new budget. Alyssa Thibault reports.
Each year, hundreds of young adults volunteer with the Surrey Crime Prevention Society.
I enjoy every bit of it. I love going out there to the community, interacting with them, and providing help to those people who need it.
But the program is in jeopardy after a surprise decision from Surrey City Council. This year's funding for the organization, more than $300,000, has been suspended.
We didn't have any clue that this was happening. So they're telling us 4 months into the fiscal year that we're no longer getting funding.
At Monday night's meeting, Surrey Council narrowly approved a 7% tax increase in a 5-4 vote. That's in addition to a 3.5% increase in utility fees passed a few weeks ago. In a statement, the mayor said the city has kept costs as low as it could. Cuts to crime prevention organisations are raising eyebrows.
I'm absolutely shocked and, quite frankly, extremely disappointed.
Councillor Linda Annis says funding has also been suspended for Metro Vancouver Crime Stoppers and the Lookout Society.
I just hope it's not a political decision. I hope it's about I don't know what, because we're all about public safety.
The mayor's office did not respond to Global News requests asking why the funding cuts were necessary. Fallon says her organisation works with all partners, including Surrey RCMP and Surrey Police. She hopes the funding decision is not linked to the ongoing policing dispute.
It would be a disgrace to the many youth that volunteer in this organisation. I'm not sure why they would be the casualty of this.
The organisation celebrates its 40th anniversary next month, and Fallon says they're hoping donations can make up the funding shortfall. Alyssa Thibault, Global News.
The province is facing questions tonight over a leaked memo and a not-yet-published report, both on drug use. As Richard Zussman reports, the health minister says the criticism is creating confusion.
It's a memo leading to confusion and frustration in the healthcare system. Island Health, just a few weeks ago, guiding nurses on how to deal with drug use in hospitals.
Many, many members have reached out from South Islands, Centre and North Island, very concerned with the situation and how it's being managed.
The four-page memo is not provincial policy, but does suggest nurses may provide help on how to administer drugs for users by IV, and guides them towards harm reduction rather than drug abstinence.
Well, it talks about, you know, how to provide patient-centered care. What it lacks is any direction around how to keep nurses safe. And it implies that open, unfettered consumption of illicit substances is permitted within healthcare spaces.
And while IV drug use may be required, smoking consumption of drugs is illegal in hospitals. This while government is creating a province-wide policy on drug use in medical facilities.
Better that we manage their issues with us and engage with them each as individuals, as people, as patients, than to not do so.
The government also facing questions about an analysis on the impacts of safe drug supply. Dr. Jonathan Culkin's hired to help the province determine the current success of providing drugs to users.
Additional information that we've received says that that report looks at the NDP's legalization of hard drugs in British Columbia.
This Culkin's report was commissioned by Provincial Health Officer Dr. Bonnie Henry. And when asked, Premier Eby was caught off guard even by its existence. And it's still unclear if the findings will be released to the public.
Wasn't aware that this had been commissioned. It was asked through the normal request for proposal process. Dr. Culkins responded to that.
The province, through Dr. Henry's office, will be providing another update next month. Richard Zussman, Global News, Victoria.
BC has put the online harms bill on hold now after reaching an agreement with some of the largest social media platforms to talk about making it safer for people online. Keith Baldry joins us with more on these new developments. And Keith, some pretty big names are coming to the table to try to hash this out.
Yeah, and this sort of came out of the blue. It's not every day. In fact, you never see social media giants like Meta, Snapchat, and TikTok heed to anything governments want. They're notorious for going it alone. They sort of hold all the cards. They've rebuffed the U.S. Senate. But they've agreed to join a B.C. online safety table with the B.C. government. As a result, Bill 12, which is the Public Health Accountability and Cost Recovery Act, designed to go after people or companies that present public health dangers, particularly to youth, and was aimed at online situations, but the business community expressed concern it could be more widespread than that and go after companies for such things as energy drinks with high caffeine contents selling to kids. So pause button has been pressed here. Now I'm told the first meetings face-to-face will take place in a couple weeks. Not clear exactly what the future of the bill will be. There's only 3 weeks left in the session. If some sort of progress can't be made at that table, the bill could die on the order paper because there's no session in the fall.
All right. Thanks very much, Keith.
A disturbing hit and run caught on camera. It happened in Surrey along 74th Avenue with the victim rolling into the ditch after being hit by a passing pickup truck. Thankfully, his wife and son were there to render aid. His condition and the search for the driver next on the NewsHour.
I was like, oh my God, my car's just been stolen.
Just ahead, carjacked in Victoria. How the victim found her car, but only after the suspect crashed it.
Plus, a major deal for electric aviation. How Harbor Air is planning to soar into the future. That's still to come tonight.
Right now, though, a tragic twist to a hit-and-run investigation in Surrey and caution from the victim about the area where it happened.
Thankfully, the victim in this case had only minor injuries. But before we show you the video, a warning. Some of it might be disturbing. Janet Brown reports.
I could hear the vehicle coming. And then I heard the vehicle hit the gravel in the road. I felt the impact. I hit the vehicle, then hit the ground, bounced, and all I remember is seeing gravel and then grass and then waking up in the water.
Vancouver firefighter Brennan Quinnell was walking home from his neighbor's Sunday afternoon when he was hit.
Stumbled out of the ditch. I yelled for the wife to get the license plate because I knew the vehicle was taken off. And then this is as far as I could get, was the shoulder.
The driver didn't stop, and Quinnell has a message for the person driving the gray two-door pickup.
Just come forward and admit what you had done, put it behind you and move on. Carrying this over your head for the rest of your life, you're always going to remember and it's going to be with you forever.
As much as he wants the driver to come forward, he would also like to see safer streets. Starting with sidewalks where he lives near 74th Avenue and 192nd Street, where there are only narrow shoulders for pedestrians.
We see kids walk by our house every day, and it just makes me cringe every time I see it, knowing they are on the road and the way traffic is today.
Nothing is ever done.
Quinnell's wife, Leanna, has been calling on the city to build sidewalks in the area for years. In 2019, her mother was struck and killed while crossing 192nd near 80th.
Since that happened to my mom, I felt helpless because it's obvious that nothing's going to be done. So I just left it. But now my husband was hit by a car in front of me.
We have to make it safe. I'm not exactly sure what that looks like, but staff who have a lot of experience in this need to visit this area and figure out a plan.
Quinnell says road infrastructure isn't keeping up with the rapid growth in the Clayton Heights area. For now, he is just thankful to be alive.
I'm lucky, so I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket and a good bottle of rye. And, you know, thank God it was me and not my wife.
Janet Brown, Global News.
RCMP in Squamish are investigating after a baby in a stroller was dragged for two blocks after being struck by a vehicle. It happened yesterday evening around 8:30. RCMP received a number of calls that a car hit a pedestrian pushing the baby in a stroller at a crosswalk in the downtown Squamish area. The driver took off and was found two blocks away. The baby stroller, with the baby still inside, was lodged into the front of the vehicle. The pedestrian and the baby sustained non-life-threatening injuries, thankfully. The driver was arrested, and the investigation is still ongoing.
A man is facing a slew of charges after an alleged carjacking in downtown Victoria that ended with the vehicle smashed up and the suspect in custody. As Kylie Stanton reports, it was the suspect's second alleged offense in as many days.
That's my vehicle right there, yep.
On the back of a tow truck, the driver's side of this Tesla is completely smashed. What happened leading up to this, still sinking in.
I just can't believe it.
On Monday afternoon, Asha Makwana was in downtown Victoria when she decided to pull over here in the 1000 block of Johnson Street to snap a photo of a commercial space for sale.
Got out of my vehicle and I saw a guy, normal looking young guy. He whipped right past me and tried to open my driver's side door. And he just, with one swipe, pushed me to the ground.
In a matter of seconds, he was behind the wheel, driving to Saanich, where he crashed into a Toyota Yaris near Doncaster and Cedar Hill Road. He then hit another vehicle before abandoning the car at the intersection of Cook and Finlayson, taking off on foot.
They were eventually arrested by police in the 1300 block of Slater Street when they tried to steal another vehicle, and a number of bystanders intervened.
All the while, Makwana had been tracking the car on the Tesla app, trying to stop the vehicle, or at the very least, lower the speed limit.
Yeah, he was big, a big guy.
By the time she arrived on scene, it was too late.
The whole time I just kept thinking, like, I can't believe this is happening in Victoria.
Seth Packer has now been charged with two counts of robbery, theft of a motor vehicle, failing to stop at the scene of an accident, and failing to comply with conditions. But this isn't Packer's first offense. This week, just one day earlier, he was arrested when he attempted to steal a vehicle while it was occupied in the 2900 block of Shelbourne Street. The question is why he was released in the first place.
So we're required to exercise the principle of restraint. We have to release someone at the earliest convenience unless there's certain conditions that are not satisfied.
Packer will now remain in police custody pending a future court date, and Makwana is also staying put, saying she won't be risking her safety again anytime soon.
This is what our city has come to, and it's not safe. It's not safe anywhere downtown anymore.
Kylie Stanton, Global News.
Coming up, launching the chopper for a lost dog.
From our perspective, we don't want those people getting themselves into trouble.
Why North Shore Rescue used all of its resources trying to help find this pup in the backcountry. Plus,
hello, lady.
This is my country. I don't have a country.
Yeah, this
back
is my country too.
Video of a woman charged with causing a disturbance and how the case played out in court today.
Officers who shot and killed a man in the line of duty almost 3 years ago in Campbell River will not face charges after a thorough assessment of the evidence in the case.
In July of 2021, Jared Lowndes was wanted for breaching conditions for firearms offenses. When police first approached his vehicle, he sped off, driving to a local Tim Hortons. They caught up with him and boxed him into the parking lot, where he bear sprayed them, stabbed one officer, and killed a police dog. As he got out of the car with a knife in his hand, he was shot by two officers. BC's police watchdog recommended charges against three officers, but the Crown has concluded it would not be able to prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt.
A North Vancouver woman has been found not guilty of causing a disturbance in relation to an angry confrontation that was caught on video. Aaron MacArthur reports.
Hello, lady.
This is my country. I don't have a country to go back to.
This is my country too.
What started out as a disagreement about a dog turned into an altercation caught on camera. Accusations of racism resulted in a police investigation.
Any comment before you go into court today?
Sylvia Taylor facing charges of causing a disturbance.
You said that.
In August of 2022, the owner of an Edgemont Village sushi restaurant confronted Taylor for allegedly allowing her dog to pee near the front entrance. Witnesses testified in court that Taylor used racist language and then spat on the owner, Ed Herr. The video doesn't show any of that. The judge ruling that Crown did not prove beyond a reasonable doubt the confrontation caused a disturbance, discarding much of the eyewitness testimony and relying instead on the video evidence. Sylvia Taylor saying she feels vindicated by the not guilty verdict.
Yes, I do, but still I had to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to clear my name. And Mr. Herr, on the other hand, profited. He got increased business as a result of the public sympathy he garnered and the publicity he received from this. So is there really justice in that?
In saying the Crown did not prove its case, the judge said the behavior captured on video was obnoxious and deplorable, but at the end of the day, not criminal.
I would agree with that assessment. I mean, look, there's things that are said between people in the heat of an emotional exchange that probably aren't nice words, but there's a big difference between that and criminal conduct.
Her says he is disappointed by the ruling, but has deep respect for the court system.
Thank you very much for everyone for support during those that incident until now. Thank you very much. Many people support to us.
Aaron MacArthur, Global News.
An encouraging update to a scary situation for one pet owner. A dog lost in the Cyprus backcountry has been spotted. But while crews continue trying to bring it to safety, they're highlighting a funding gap between human and pet rescues. Freeway the Black Lab is alive and seemingly uninjured after going missing yesterday while skiing with his owner on Mount Strawn. The skier lost a ski and Freeway chased it over a cliff. But unlike for humans, the province does not cover the costs of a helicopter for the search of animals. To prevent the owner from taking matters into his own hands, North Shore Rescue covered the cost of a chopper for 1 hour.
It would be ideal, it would be great if there was a fund to help search and rescue dogs, as well as humans. The point being that if a dog gets lost or gets into trouble, then it's extremely likely that the human, the family, the owner, the friends, they potentially could get themselves into trouble by trying to access the dog. So, indirectly, you could well be saving lives.
NSR says Freeway is scared and running away. The last sighting was at 3 p.m. north of South Knob, and he's heading south toward the Dick Eagle Lake area and West Vancouver. They're asking anyone living in those areas to keep their eyes peeled.
All right, let's hope they find Freeway soon. Coming up, ebbing interest in electric vehicles.
I think the message is clear. There is a decline in demand.
Why demand is stalling and the potential impact on zero emissions targets.
But there's still hope in electrified aviation. Harbor Air takes another step to modernize its fleet of airplanes.
Traffic is steady in both directions over here tonight at the Alex Fraser Bridge, with just some leftover volume as usual eastbound on the east-west connector between 9th and the S-curve. Today's Lotto Max jackpot is an estimated $21 million. Lotto Max, dream to the max. Trish Jewison in Global One at the Alex Fraser Bridge.
Bringing you behind the scenes in the corridors of power, asking questions on the issues that matter most to British Columbians.
People are frustrated. They don't believe that your government is doing enough.
Focus BC.
Uncovering what happens here, holding politicians to account.
Delivering in-depth analysis.
Because politics matter.
A new survey shows more Canadians are deciding against buying electric vehicles, citing cost and a lack of charging stations.
BC is a bit of an outlier, where EV sales have tripled since 2019. But as Angela Jung reports, those in the industry still aren't sold on targets to fully phase out gas-powered vehicles.
Consumers may not be getting charged up about electric vehicles.
I think the message is clear. There is a decline in demand.
Auto Trader surveyed consumers and found their interest in buying an EV has been steadily dropping. Now, less than half of consumers surveyed are considering making the switch.
Range anxiety seems to be the biggest reason, as 79% of the consumers said that they're concerned about this.
This one here is a 22 Lexus NX 450H.
Here at Flexcar Auto Group, Zareeb Zaman says it's hard to keep EVs and hybrids on the lot.
Fuel prices are up there, as we know, and mixed with the government rebate of PSC exemption, it's just become a very hot commodity.
Despite what the survey found, Statistics Canada data shows new registrations of EVs and hybrids have more than tripled between 2019 and 2023. In British Columbia, one-fifth of new registrations are zero-emission vehicles.
I know in Vancouver here, it's probably easier to sell hybrids and EV vehicles if you compare it to Alberta or, you know, one of the other provinces.
The local electric vehicle association says more charging infrastructure is being built, accelerating sales.
Now that Tesla is opening up their chargers to Ford, GM, Toyota, Honda, all these other manufacturers that can now use the infrastructure that Tesla has, and it's massive.
Despite a rise in EV sales, many told the Auto Trader survey they don't believe the federal government's target of phasing out gas-powered vehicle sales is realistic.
Consumers are skeptical about the 2035 EV mandate.
And that's something Zaman can agree on.
I don't think we're there yet. We still do sell a very large number of gas vehicles as well.
But Stats Can has discovered for the first time, 1 in 10 of all new vehicle registrations in the country are electric. Angela Jung, Global News.
And Richmond-based Harbor Air is announcing an important step in becoming the world's first fully electric airline. The company plans to buy 50 electric motors from manufacturer MagnaX, and once they're certified, install them on its fleet of DH2 Beavers. Harbor Air is the largest seaplane airline in North America, with plans for its first official electric passenger flight by 2026. If it's successful, it will install the MagnaX electric motors on the rest of the fleet.
Still to come, even a piano prodigy gets the jitters.
I don't think I've ever not been nervous for a performance.
How Rachel Way got over her stage fright, playing her way to prestigious awards.
And coming up in sports, what Rick Tocchet says he needs from his team now that Thatcher Demko is down with an injury. Top-down convertible weather these days, and Sophie's missing her Jeep. We were just talking about it in the break.
I miss your Jeep too, Sophie. That was a good one. Love that one. You know, you don't need it though over the next little while. Your current car is just fine, as we've got a lot of rain on the way. But I want to quickly give you an update in terms of the fire situation. 117 fires, 4 new in the last 24 hours. And look, pretty much all of the fires are in the Prince George Fire Center. And the majority of those are holdover fires or zombie fires because it has been so dry in the area. The Prince George Fire Center, just to give you perspective, extends all the way in through the northeastern portions of BC. So BC Peace River included in that. This is the current fire danger rating. It's pretty much exactly that Prince George Fire Center area. So there's holdover fires in that area. It's no wonder because of how dry it is in that area. And it's been over a year since they've had substantial rainfall. Now we're starting to get into the spring months where the snow is starting to melt, the ground is starting to be able to absorb more moisture. And so this is exactly the time that we need moisture. And we do have some on the way, but the majority of it, this is, by the way, over the next 7 days, the amount of moisture we're going to see is mainly along southern regions, particularly the south coast. Not as much for that area, but at least some when the ground is warm enough and can absorb some of that moisture. Here's a look at the next 24 hours. Not a lot, spotty conditions expected, but at least some. And tomorrow is really the start of the floodgates that are going to be open as we start to see a series of systems make their way across the region. So we're really hoping for more rainfall, despite the fact that I know Sophie wants some convertible weather, but not going to happen over the next little while. All right, so spotty showers expected tomorrow. By the way, on Thursday, we're expecting more consistent rainfall across the region, and it is going to remain cool over the next little while. So a big change. We saw about 20 degrees away from the water today. It's certainly going to feel cool. Tonight's Central Windows weather window comes to you from White Rock, where this sensational shot looking towards Mount Baker, and that's the full moon as it was climbing this morning. It is the pink full moon, officially full this afternoon, and pink meaning the full moon in April, when, of course, we have pink flowers out.
Beautiful shot. Wow.
All right. Squire's here now. Game two, Squire. No Demko, but a lot of fans still believe.
And the players believe, too.
Good, good. You know,
fans are concerned Thatcher Demko isn't playing tonight, but Elias Pettersson is not concerned.
If we don't have Thatcher tonight, I like our chances.
He likes their chances. They played Nashville's Casey DeSmith, as we said earlier, back on December 19th, and they won that game. So it has been done before with Casey against the Preds.
Also coming up tonight.
I always want to make sure that my music has an impact on people.
The healing power of music. How a 16-year-old piano prodigy is using her gift to help others.
Squire joins us now with sports, and everybody's talking about what's going to go down in Game 2.
And who's not going to be going down, or who did go down, as the case may be. Actually, Jay just said to me, just called me, don't see Tyler Myers in the pregame skate. What is going on here? Okay.
What is going on?
We do know Thatcher Demko is not going to play tonight, and as we saw earlier, the Canucks really aren't going to say any more than that. There is speculation that whatever is ailing him could keep him out the rest of the series. Somebody said maybe 4 to 6 weeks. Again, that's just somebody saying. The Canucks are not going to officially say anything. Even if that was true, they're not going to say it right now. But the rumor is it is the knee again. Whatever it is, however long he's out for, we do know Casey DeSmith is the starter for game number 2. As we said before the break, he has beaten the Predators already this season. He is no Thatcher Demko, obviously. It's not an ideal situation. But Rick Tocchet says this is what can happen in the playoffs, and the players and the coaches do have confidence in Casey DeSmith. One of the reasons he was brought to Vancouver was to have an NHL veteran in case something like this happens.
Well, I think all year we've had people step up in and out of the lineups. Casey played a big game against Edmonton, what was it, 10 days ago? A huge game to win the division, so he's done it all year for us. So just moving, march forward. Guys are excited about tonight's game.
We have 3 good goalies. I mean, it's playoffs, you know, guys getting hurt, so it's time for some other guys to step up for sure.
Now, when the Canucks come onto the ice for game number 2, there will be another loud ovation. And there will be alumni in the crowd, one waving a towel, just as those towels were waved for him when he was part of the 2011 Stanley Cup playoffs. We are talking about Ryan Kessler. Yes, fans didn't like it when he left for Anaheim. He was booed when he came back the first time. But over time, wounds do heal. After all, Pavel Bure had his number retired, and nobody was happy with him when he wanted to be traded and was sent off to Florida. Kessler has come to town with his son to experience living in Canucks Nation once again, and right now he is with Jay.
For the first 10 years of his NHL career, this was home for Ryan Kessler. Your timing is perfect. The sun's shining, it's playoff hockey, and the Canucks are playing the Nashville Predators. Welcome home. Does it feel like home?
Yeah, it does. You know, being back in the city, and especially with the buzz from the playoffs, it's special to be back. My son was born here. My son's with me tonight. So for him to be back and kind of get the drift and get the whole vibe of the city, it's something I really want him to take in.
Okay, he's going to experience the towels that you witnessed. They're playing the U2 Skate Out song that you guys have. I've got chills. So bring back memories for you.
I have chills right now. I'll probably cry during the opening before pregame. I saw it already, and it's... brings back a lot of good memories, and the fact that my son gets to be a part of it, and he gets to realize how passionate these fans are and how great it is to play in front of them. It's going to be a special night for him.
Turn back the clock with me. 2011, you were an absolute beast against the Predators. You went Predator mode, 5 goals, 11 points in 6 games. That team was so special for us to cover. It was special for everybody to watch. What stands out to you the most about that group?
I think just how close we were as a team. You know, I talked a little bit about how, you know, we could beat you any way we wanted to. If you wanted to out-hit us, we'd out-hit you. If you wanted to skate us into the ground, we'd skate you back. If you wanted to out-skill us, we were up for that too. And it was a team that could win any way, and I feel like this team has a lot of similarities, and I'm excited to watch the game tonight.
All right, so your first 10 years were here, your final 5 years were in Anaheim. You got to 1,001 NHL games before the body broke down. How is the body and how are the hips? Because I know that's what bothered you the most at the end.
Yeah. I mean, two Vancouver guys, Damian Maroney and Ben Spohr, they're the two guys that got me to 1,000 games. My body was pretty toasted the last couple years, and they put together a great plan. So I got to see them today, first time since COVID, I think. So, it's just good to be back in the city. The body's doing good. If I don't stay on top of things, it goes sideways, but it's good. I can live a normal life.
He's got the playoff beard going. Looks like he's still in great shape. One message to Canucks fans before we let you go.
One message to Canucks fan. We want to hear you tonight. We want you loud. We want you proud. And I'm excited. Let's get loud.
Let's get loud. There is Ryan Kessler. We will be back later tonight. News Hour Final with all of your post-game comments. Let's see if the Canucks can make it 2-0.
Okay, watch this tonight. Watch Sergei Bobrovsky make this save. Whoa, he's not even looking. That's Dominic Hasek stylings. It's a 2-2 between these two teams, Tampa and Florida, in the third period. But Bobrovsky with an outstanding acrobatic no-look, how'd he do that makes you wonder save. Vancouver Whitecaps have added a 19-year-old Australian wingback to their side, Giuseppe Bovolina. He should be here this weekend, but not play right away. The Caps see him as a very good prospect, someone they have been watching for a while. They say he is one of the top young players at his position down in Australia. They gave him a contract through 2026 with team options for two more years after that. He was playing for Adelaide FC last season, started 18 games. He also has been on Australia's under-23 national team, so he does have some quality. Whether that can translate to the Northern Hemisphere is to be seen, but he can score a bit, and they say he's a pretty good defender as well. And there you go. Good to see Ryan Kessler.
It was good to see him.
The old boys are back.
Looking good.
All right. Thanks, Squire.
Still ahead, a 16-year-old piano prodigy hitting all the right notes.
This is BC with Jay Durant, is brought to you by JM Media.
All right, Jordan Armstrong now with a look ahead to Global News at 11. Jordan?
Sophie, we have cameras out at popular fan spots tonight. One of the newest watch parties to pop up is at the Port Coquitlam Community Center. We'll check in there. Also, we'll have reports from both inside and outside Rogers Arena after the game. We're in touch with Vancouver Police. They'll let us know how the night goes from their perspective. And, of course, Squire will be here with post-game coverage. A full hour of late local news and sports at 11. Sophie.
It's been a day full of Canucks news. All right, thanks for that.
Has it ever. All right, from sports to music now. Vancouver piano prodigy is channeling her love of music into a charitable endeavor.
As Jay Durant tells us on This is BC, raising money for children outweighs her performance butterflies.
As the youngest of five children, Rachel Way has followed in her family's love of music.
I think it was in my DNA and something that, you know, everyone knew that I was going to pursue, but I kind of took it the farthest out of all my siblings.
A journey that started at a very young age, learning several instruments and finding the courage to take center stage to showcase her talents on the piano.
I do remember one time it was right before my first orchestra performance. I was like tears streaming down my face practicing. I was like, I'm so scared.
Those performances got a little easier as she played more often, that talent taking her to many national and international competitions where she has won numerous awards. But nothing has been more gratifying than her charity concerts. Over the years, Rachel has raised thousands of dollars for Canuck Place.
I saw a girl with an oxygen tank on her back, and one of the workers told me that she only had 3 months left to live. I really want to help children who don't have as much time as me to live their lives to the fullest.
The 16-year-old dreams of the days of more prestigious competitions and even bigger concert halls, but nothing will ever change those feelings she's had since first stepping onto the stage.
I don't think I've ever not been nervous for a performance. I think that nervousness is really good fuel for like energy and excitement, and putting that into the music is really, really important for a live performance.
Thank you.
Jay Durant, Global News.
Wow, if you know someone who has a great story to tell just like that, or something unique to BC you want to share with the rest of us, email your ideas to Jay at thisisbc@globalnews.ca.
All right, a final word on the weather, Christy.
Pull out the rain jackets. You're going to need it over the next little while. No convertible weather on the way for you, Sophie, sorry to say. 12 degrees is going to feel a lot cooler. Is it close to 20 degrees away from the water today? So, yikes.
That's
fine. But we need it.
No convertible anyway, so.
That's right. And go Canucks, go.
Yes.
Whether we got Demko between the pipes or not.
It's a whole team. It's a whole team effort.
Whole team effort. Thanks for watching, everyone. Enjoy the game.
Good night, all. Later.